First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. The text for our sermon this morning consists of two words. Obviously, we'll be looking at a lot of other places in the scripture. But from this verse, last week we looked at gird up the loins of your mind. The next thing is be sober. What does it mean to be sober? Let's pray, and then we'll find out. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that you've given us. Help us to understand what you mean by this word, and from other places in Scripture to understand how it applies to us. Help us to learn this day how it's possible for us to be sober in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Emotions come in all shapes and sizes. Some are outward emotions, like happiness and wrath. Some are inward emotions, like joy and sorrow. Some are really big emotions, like standing in awe or vexation. Some are small emotions, like tenderness and sadness. All of these particular emotions are mentioned in the Bible, and the Bible refers to a lot of different emotions. And the Bible also teaches us that emotions are just reactions. That's all. Just the reactions to what we see and hear and experience. This is an important point we need to understand, and so I want you to look with me at a couple of places. Would you go to Psalm 28, verse 7? Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth." Now, why did David wrote Psalm, why did David's heart rejoice? Because he was helped. Help was the action, and the rejoicing was the emotional reaction. Go over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. Jesus is interacting with a rich young man. And at the end of this, it says in Matthew 19, verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful." Why was he sorrowful? Because of what he heard. The hearing was the action, and the sorrow was the reaction. Verse 25 of this same chapter. "When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed." When they heard something, that's the action, the reaction was amazement. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 14, King Herod is being entertained by his daughter-in-law, or no, daughter, no. Well, there's some kind of connection there. He's married to his sister or something. I don't remember exactly what the... He's being entertained by a young woman. And it says in verse 6, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod." Why was he pleased? The dancing was the action. The pleasing was the reaction. Emotions are reactions to what we see and hear and experience. Now here's a potential problem. If we use our emotions to determine our choices, it can lead us into a lot of trouble. And that's what happened with King Herod. Because of how he felt as a result of what he saw, he made a decision to offer to this young woman up to half of his kingdom. And what did she ask for? The death of John the Baptist. All because he made a decision based on how he felt. Emotions can get us into a lot of trouble. Emotions can be pleasant and good and wonderful, but they can also be real problems in our lives. Emotions are actually like seasoning to life. When you cook food, you season it, right? You put salt and pepper and whatever else in there. And so emotions are kind of like that to life. Of course, if you put too much or the wrong kind of seasoning in something, it can really cause something to taste very badly. Have any of you ever actually mistaken salt for sugar and put two heaping spoonsful of salt in your coffee? What would that taste like? That wouldn't be good, would it? I never drink coffee, so I don't know. I do drink tea. I certainly wouldn't want salt in my tea. That would be terrible. Emotions can flavor our lives just right and make life taste great. But emotions can also flavor our lives very badly and make life taste terrible. We're going to look first at some of the negative influences of bad emotions in our lives. But then we're at the end, we're going to look at what God has provided for us to overcome that. Now, first we have to understand, why am I talking about emotions? I thought the word was sober. Well, there are three different ways in which the word sober is used in the Bible. One of those has to do with how you think. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, in the qualifications for a bishop, it says that he is to be vigilant and sober. And there the word has to do with the way he thinks. You want a sober-minded man who is providing leadership in the church. Not someone who whose thoughts are all jumbled up and discombobulated. That's a good word, isn't it? Another way in which the word sober is used is regarding the matter of intoxication. And interestingly, while the bishop is to have a sober mind, the bishop's wife is to be not intoxicated. Well, now there are lots of different ways in which you can be intoxicated other than with alcohol. You know, you can be intoxicated with money. You can be intoxicated with fashion and personal appearance and the clothes you wear. There's all kinds of things you can be intoxicated with. So it's not necessarily talking about being drunk. It's talking about being overwhelmed with something that you are obsessed with. A person should not be obsessed. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, when the word sober is used there, the use of the word means to be calm. It is an emotional word. to be sober in your emotions, to be calm. God wants us to be cool, calm, and collected all the time. We will have our moments. He understands that. Things will happen. Things will be said. And we'll react. Emotions are just reactions. You can't prevent yourself from reacting emotionally. Emotions are reactions. But what do we do with those emotions? For example, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Has anyone ever made you angry? See, that's a reaction. It's an emotional reaction. It's built into your makeup as a human being. It is impossible for us to prevent emotional reactions. But when we have those emotional sensations, there is something that we can do to harness them and not let them get out of control or to lead us into trouble. Now, there were some instances in the Gospels where the disciples had not yet gotten this point. Let's look at a few of them. Would you please go to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. And I use the disciples as examples in this because I want us to understand that believers have to deal with this kind of thing. These are believers. This happens in the Christian life. This can happen to us because emotions are reactions. Things can happen and things can be said that cause us to react. And if we're not aware of what to do to deal with it, we can find ourselves in some pretty sticky situations. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. It says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. But instead of going the normal route across Jordan and down on the east side of the Jordan River, he went through Samaria. And it says in verse 52, "And set messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him." But the village, this village, apparently not the same village as the woman in the well, not in the well, at the well. Woman wasn't in the well. Moses talked to a woman. Jesus talked to a woman who was at the well. My words are mixed up. Apparently not the same village as that. And these people were not prepared to allow Jesus to come into their village because they saw he was on his way to Jerusalem. And remember, the Jews and the Samaritans just didn't always get along that well together. And so it says in verse 53, "And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And James and John just thought this was terrible, and they had this emotional reaction, and it led them to this in verse 54, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did?" John, the disciple of love? Really? Do you recall that Jesus had at one point called James and John the sons of thunder? In Mark chapter 3 and verse 17, "And James the son of Zebedee and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges," which is the sons of thunder. Why did he call them the sons of thunder? Well, in modern terminology, we would call them hotheads. Ever hear that term? A hothead is a person who is impetuous or who easily becomes angry and violent, acting quickly without thought or care. James and John were hotheads. They were sons of thunder. And, well, they're not going to receive Jesus. Let's call fire down from heaven. Just consume them all. Do you know anyone like this? Ever run into somebody like that? Is it possible for a believer to have this kind of reaction? Apparently. Another one. Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verse 43. And now I'm going to pick on Peter. After all, Peter is the one who wrote 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Be calm. Mark chapter 14, verse 43. Judas Iscariot brought an armed band of men from the chief priests to the Garden of Gethsemane for the purpose of taking Jesus. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Judas had indicated to the group that Jesus would be the one whom he would kiss on the cheek. And it says in verse 44, and he betrayed him. He that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And so this is exactly what he did in verse 45. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. Whereupon the armed band of men laid hands on Jesus, verse 46, and they laid their hands on him and took him. And while it doesn't say Peter is the one that did this, we know from other gospels that Peter is the one who's identified as the one who did this. Peter is going to have none of this, and he draws a sword and strikes one of the men, cutting off his ear. He reacted violently. Of course, Jesus will heal the ear. He'll be okay. But this is a violent reaction. Would you look momentarily at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice. There is a reason he lists these three together. Blasphemy, of course, is calling people names, and filthy communication out of your mouth. All of that stuff comes out after anger, wrath, and malice. Anger is an emotion that you feel on the inside. When it becomes wrath is when you begin to express it outwardly. That's why the scripture can say, be angry and sin not, because anger is only on the inside. Anger is what you feel inwardly. And if you deal with it before it becomes wrath, everything will be okay, but if you don't deal with it, then it starts to express itself outwardly, and that becomes wrath. And malice is when it turns violent. See, there's a progression. Anger you feel on the inside, wrath you express outwardly, malice you become violent, and then the language starts to come. And this is what happened to Peter. He was angry. And the expression went quickly from wrath to malice. And he acted violently. Have you ever known a Christian to act violently? True story, way back, years and years ago, I don't know, it might have been B.C. when I was first starting out as a pastor. It was a long time ago. At a church that you will never know about, way out somewhere in the boondocks. At a church congregation meeting, I had to break up a fist fight between two members of the church. Yeah. It can happen. Wow. Oh, I could tell you stories, but we won't go there today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. You don't know everything I went through before I got here. This place has been like paradise. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. Jesus has been arrested. Peter followed and is observing what's going on. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now drop down to verse 69. Peter is recognized as one of Jesus' followers. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel, young girl, came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. It's getting intense. The emotions are starting to boil. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear. You know, the Colossians 3:8. He had been violent. Now comes the words. I know not the man. And when he said that, just as soon as he said that, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Do you see the emotions that are controlling Peter? He becomes defensive. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And he begins to use language that is totally inappropriate. And when he realizes what he has done, in fact, Luke tells us, the Gospel of Luke tells us, at this moment when the rooster crowed, Jesus was within eyesight, and Jesus looked Peter right in the eyes, and that's all it took for that look to break Peter's spirit, and he wept. Oh, the turmoil and unsettledness that emotions bring to our lives. Have you ever experienced this unsettledness of emotions? Things get all tied up in knots inside of you. You become angry. You become depressed. You become weeping, you're sorrowful, you have remorse, it's all kinds of things. Life just tears us apart sometimes emotionally. I'm going to go one more place, Luke chapter 8. In verse 22. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Jesus went with his disciples in a boat onto the Sea of Galilee. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. Now, Jesus went to sleep, and while he was sleeping in the boat, a terrific storm came up on the sea, verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And the disciples panicked, verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." They didn't say, "We're going to perish." They didn't say, "We might perish." "We're done. This is it. Wake up and die with this," or something. I don't know. Well, you know, you see what's happening. And so they just panicked, the emotion of the moment because of the circumstances around them. And then Jesus teaches us all an important lesson. He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And the lesson is this: there is never a storm that can stir the sea. And there is never a circumstance that can unsettle our emotions that Jesus cannot calm. Peter learned the lesson well. And that is why he can be used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 to say to us, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." If anyone had raging, unsettled emotions within him, it was Peter. Peter learned. Jesus can calm the sea. And Jesus can calm me. How is this possible? Some very simple things God has provided to make this possible. Remember, emotions are reactions. So, here's the situation. If something happens that causes our emotions to become like the raging sea, we need to do something else to reverse that effect. We need to do something good to produce good emotions. If something bad happens to cause us to react badly, we need to take control of the situation and actively do something positive that will produce a different kind of emotion. And here's what we can do. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. There'll be three things. Three things. This is the first. Number one, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. I love this verse. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." When somebody says something that makes you angry, when somebody does something that just stirs you up emotionally and you're all just miscombobulated, you can just turn your thoughts to God Himself. And just thinking about God, the one who calmed the sea, will be enough to calm your emotions. Remember in another one of the Gospels when they were on the stormy sea, what did Jesus say when he got up and called? He said, what? Peace, be still. As he said that for the storm on the sea, he can say that to your stormy emotions. Peace, be still. If we will turn our thoughts to God, to think upon Him, look at the promise. Is it a promise? Does He make the promise? Is it in the Word of God? If you will keep your mind stayed upon me, if you will direct your thoughts to think about me, I will give you peace. It's a promise. Number two, John chapter 16 and verse 33. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus has just finished giving a long dissertation to the disciples just before he's going to be arrested and crucified. And he says this, John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Jesus says, my words are intended to produce peace in you. And so when your emotions seem to be getting out of control and your life is unsettled, you don't feel right, you feel whatever, the words of this book have a calming effect on your emotions. One of those places that we are all so familiar with, sometimes neglect because it is so familiar, can be so calming to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you imagine the effect it will have on you when your emotions are in utter turmoil to turn to the words of Scripture like this and to see the emotional still waters and green pastures that God can bring you to? Simply by reflecting upon His words. And then number three, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Number one, turn your thoughts to God Himself. Number two, start putting into your mind the words of the Bible. Number three, turn to God in prayer. Be careful for nothing. Go, careful. I know how we use the word careful these days. Now be careful. When you go home, be careful. No, that's not the way the word's used here. Careful. Full of care. Filled up with all of those tumultuous emotions. No, don't be that. Well, how can I not be that? Oh. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what will be the response? The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh. The simplest things of all, you say, well, that's really down to basics. Yeah, that's all it takes. Think about God. Read the Bible and pray. It's as simple as that. Troubled waters are for those who have no time for God. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked." But for God's people, he has offered these simple things to make us sober and keep us calm. Thoughts about himself, words he has spoken, and access to him in prayer. So that if we are angry, and we have rage, and we become defensive, and we feel remorseful, and if we panic, or we sense some sinful pleasure sensation, or we are overwhelmed with sorrow, or whatever the emotion may be, if we just reflect upon these things, think about God himself, listen to the words of the Bible, and spend some time in prayer. And each of those things, God has promised to give us peace. Norma Beard wrote this poem. Upon a sea called Galilee, a boat was found one night, filled with the 12 disciples and their Savior Jesus Christ. This boat had sailed into a storm and waves began to roll. Fear struck the men handpicked by God and terror filled their souls. And as the rain and wind grew strong, the Lord was fast asleep. For he is in control of sudden storms and raging seas. Now his disciples only saw the crashing waves. They only felt the stormy blast, but not one drop of faith. Then as the storm sent violent winds, they went to find the Lord. For when the storm is at its worst, you need to trust him more. They woke the Lord, and then he found disciples gripped in fear. Why must they worry? Storms don't last when Jesus Christ is near. For near he was. They soon would know that faith in God is real. The waves may toss and winds may blow till Christ says, "Peace, be still." And peace be still is all it takes to calm the storms of life, to move the clouds and see the sun and break the fear of night. The Lord desires to calm your storm when you are at the end of what seems like a dead-end road. He'll clear the skies again. So when your boat is tossed by waves and rain begins to fall, you will not drown if you will pray. The Lord will hear your call. For it is in the hard times when we learn to trust in God and understand Psalm 23 that he's our staff and rod. And it is in the midst of storms we see what God can do. Our eyes may see a sky of gray, but faith sees skies of blue. My friend, it's on a battered ship when waves are growing rough that we can feel a perfect peace and presence of his love. But faith must be our guest on board when all else seems to fail, for God won't navigate off course this ship of life I sail. So never let What you may see determine where you'll go. You know your ship will never sink when God is in the boat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being in our boat. And thank you for dwelling in us as your children. Thank you that you have the power to calm the storm. Lord, we all deal with emotions. And many times our emotions frustrate us. We don't want to feel this way. You have said we can be sober. We can be calm. Help us to learn how to stay our thoughts on you, to give our ears to the words of your Bible, and to spend the time in prayer we need to know your peace. For when you decree peace, be still, the storm will be calmed every time. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.